It's especially joyous to be invited into people's homes this time of year. This week I visited in a friend's home, a fellow Episcopalian. From the moment I crossed over the threshold of the door and into her house, I knew I was in a Christian space. She had her Advent wreath in a prominent place, and at least 5 gorgeous nativity scenes. One in the dining room, one in the living room, one in the breakfast room, and even in the kitchen. And these were some nativity scenes. The figures were large. The figures of Mary and Joseph. The wise men and the animals, the baby Jesus. She had collected all of these nativities through the years, Santa Fe and in Mexico. Her entire house was waiting and looking for the birth of Jesus. Now here who is someone who has cut through the secularization and commercialization of Christmas and takes the church's celebration of the birth of Jesus very seriously. And so we should. For it is a threshold moment and the beginning of a new era in the history of salvation. I love Advent. It's a very important liturgical season. As many of you know, it's the first season in the entire church calendar. The term Advent derives from the Latin meaning coming, and it consists of 4 Sundays immediately and separate from, but immediately before Christmas, which begins on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve. Advent may be thought of as a preparatory time for the faithful before the coming of the Christ child. Somewhat like Lent is preparatory, that points to Good Friday and Easter. Advent has a solemn character and is sometimes used purple and sometimes blue or rose. It's a reflective and prayerful time and a penitential time. As we will see as we progress through Advent, Mary's Magnificat is gradually introduced in the 3rd Sunday. And in the 4th, the story of the birth of the Christ child is central. It somewhat reverses the order, however, because the 1st Sunday of Advent, which was last Sunday, points to the 2nd coming of Christ, for which we must keep watch. So, yes, Advent points to the first and anticipated coming of the Christ child. But if we look at the scriptures that are appointed for this season, for this first season of the calendar year, we see that Advent points to much more than the nativity. It gets ahead of itself and fast forwards the events in the life and ministry of Christ. And it includes his death and resurrection and ascension. Interestingly, we might see Advent as a season that gives us a brief summary of the entire story of Christ. It functions like a preface or an introduction to the book of Christ. The scope of Advent is much wider than we ordinarily think. It asks us to prepare for the greatest story ever told, for the coming of a new epoch in salvation history, a new era during which Christ reigns in God's kingdom. Today, for example, we have a scripture that doesn't point directly to the nativity. The gospel lesson fast forwards to a time when Jesus is an adult. In this gospel, we meet one of the most formidable figures in the history of salvation, John the Baptist, the forerunner and messenger who is preparing the way. He is formidable because he doesn't mince words. He confronts and challenges the people from all Judea and from Jerusalem that have come to hear him. His message is urgent, and its content is about the kingdom of God. He says, "Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near." Recognize the Savior, he says. Repent and be baptized and confess your sins. You see, John is the voice crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Savior and the suffering of the cross and the resurrection. And he is very clear in distinguishing himself from Jesus. He's not worthy to carry his sandals. He himself baptizes with mere water, while Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. You see, John has spent many years in the Judean desert preparing for his mission. He was a miracle holy child, born to the priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth when they were way beyond their childbearing years. He was to be named John, the angel told them, and he would be great in the sight of the Lord. And with the spirit of Elijah, he would go before the people of God to turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. And he will make, the angel said, a people prepared for the Lord. John, in another gospel, is the one sent by God to bear witness to the light. He himself was not the light, but his role was to testify to the light, to the true light, which was coming into the world to enlighten everyone. So this Sunday in Advent, ask us here in the pews in the 21st century to come to terms with repentance and confession of sins, to face and confront when we know we've not acted in the spirit of our baptism, when we have not acted in the grace of God to put on the mind of Christ. When we have perhaps denied the dignity of another, failed to follow the love commandment, failed to alleviate another's suffering, failed to alleviate our own suffering. For me, repentance is not a self-castigation, but a recognition that we belong to imperfect humanity. And that when we recognize and confess our sins, we return to the Lord, we grow closer to the Lord and to the mind of Christ. When we have confessed, we're brought back into resonance with the truly and fully human Son of Man. And in the process, we will most likely learn of those roadblocks that we have built up through the years that keep us at a distance from God's unconditional love. So in Advent, we have work to do. Yes, Advent is about preparation for the joyous threshold event of the birth of the Savior into the house of the Lord. But it is also about soul preparation. And this, I guess, is why it is said of Advent that it's a quiet, reflective time. And rightly, the first season in the Christian calendar, when we can contemplate the whole of the life-changing epoch that began in creation, way before the manger. Amen.